John Michael's congregation, for those of you that don't know, we have a Hispanic Pentecostal congregation that uses our building here. And they did a really amazing and wonderful thing. They wanted to help with our campaign, so they had put together a taco plate dinner next Sunday after the service. They have also, in the meantime, canceled their services. So I need to talk to John Michael and figure out exactly what's happening with that. But here's what I'd love for you to do. Here's what would please me more than anything if you'd be willing to do this. Next Sunday, let yourself be as hungry as possible so that if they're still going to serve this dinner, you can come, have their wonderful food, and support our campaign by eating it. They're paying us to eat good food. And in the event that that's canceled, in the event that that's not going on, then you can go and be hungry for more of Jesus. I don't know really where that's going to stand, but please be aware and possibly be prepared that we could have that opportunity next week. I'm done. No more announcements. No more corona. No nothing. I'm going to have a sermon for you today. Who just cried? We've been going through Lent, and I think this is the third message in the series. We've been going through a series that I'm calling Restoration Project. The idea that we may look at ourselves sometimes and see damaged goods or see scratch and dent or see, you know, something that's just not worth a lot. Sometimes when we're judging people as we ought not to, we look at others and we say, there's damaged goods, there's a scratch and dent item, there's something that doesn't have a lot of worth. The idea is we don't see things the same way, be it ourselves or others, and we don't place the same value as Jesus would see them, or the value that Jesus would assign to it. Things that we would tend to discard, Jesus says, oh no, I see something beautiful in that. And so to talk about this today, I'm going to reference a fella named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And so just in case you haven't heard me say it before or you haven't read, tax collectors, I want to give you a little bit of background on them. They were not well liked anywhere, okay? Tax collectors in the times of the New Testament would go and they would collect taxes. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Linda can testify about this. But beyond that, oftentimes, I've never met one of the tax collectors in the Roman Empire, you know, there's a little bit of distance there, but oftentimes, I can't say everyone, many of them would take beyond what was needed. So this is my job and I'm paid to do it. This is the amount I'm to collect, but they don't know that. So I'm going to collect a little extra and fatten my pocket that way. More than that, they were thought of as traitors. Why were they thought of as traitors? Because these were people that would come and collect taxes from the Jewish people. Come collect taxes from the people that the empire took over. And they were oftentimes from those people. So these weren't Roman guards that would go and collect the taxes. These would be of the people that were originally there, that had lost their land. They would be of the Jewish people, you know, at times. And they're paying tax to this empire that's invaded. So they were seen as traitors. And they weren't necessarily honest traitors, because if you got to have a traitor, at least let him be honest. And sometimes they just weren't. And at that, they were also, because they would take a little extra, because they were guarded, looked out for by the Romans, they lived a pretty comfortable life. When life was uncomfortable for other people, these tax collectors were sitting pretty. They would have nicer vehicles than ever. Okay, well, maybe not. But they would have swimming pools that, probably not. Anyway, they lived a pretty cushy life. They were looked out for by the Romans because they were employed by the Romans. They had pay for their job plus the extra that they took. And they were not fair to the people they came from in their eyes. This was an act of, you know, treachery. Tax collectors, they weren't well received, I think. Can we just say that? Okay. So to give you a little bit of background that you can find in scriptures. So these are taken from our New Testament readings. So it's not just Pastor Devin telling you historically, here's how it went. Listen to what it says in Luke 3. And this is the first word. I want you to hear this. Luke 3:12 says this. Even tax collectors came to be baptized by John the Baptist. Listen to how that's phrased. John the Baptist was baptizing, go figure, And even tax collectors were coming to him. In other words, there were some people of the land that were saying, okay, we need to be baptized. And there were some religious people that were saying, we need to be baptized. And there were people with crooked hearts that were saying, I need to be baptized. And even, can you imagine, even tax collectors, it says, were coming to be baptized. Just a little cue as to how well-received tax collectors were. Or you have Luke 18. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Jesus often spoke to people's hearts where they were at. And so here's what he said. Two men went up to a temple to pray. And notice how Jesus doesn't say, two men went into a bar and proceed with a joke. That's what I'd have been inclined to do, but no. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and he sets up this juxtaposition, the other, a tax collector, who's got people's attention. And Jesus says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. And listen, Jesus is portraying the heart of the religious people. This is appropriate and right that a Pharisee would be praying in the temple. Here's Jesus' example of what would typically happen. Jesus says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. That was in the parable Jesus taught. Jesus didn't come up with wild and fascinating things that nobody could relate to that just seemed to come out of left field. Jesus was saying, this is probably what you may have seen. And then he goes on to illustrate how God's kingdom is different. But he names a Pharisee praying and saying, I'm glad I'm not a robber. I'm glad I'm not an evildoer. I'm glad I'm not an adulterer. I'm glad I'm even not a tax collector. And I'm just trying to set the scene for you so you get it. In those two passages and the information I shared, I'm trying to let you know, tax collectors, imagine, let's do this. All right, everybody close your eyes. I see your eyes are open, close them. And everybody think of that person. It's just vile to you, just disgusting to you. Don't name them. They might be sitting next to you in the pew, okay? But I want you, stop pointing at me. I want you to think of the most vile and offensive person you can. Lock that in your mind, open your mind. That is how they saw tax collectors. I'm not saying it was right or it was good, it's just the way it was, okay? Especially, again, if you were one of the followers of God, one of the people of God that had been displaced, that didn't have a lot to live on, that was constantly at war, the enemy was the state, you did not like tax collectors. They were worse than evil, they were worse than robbers, they were worse than adulterers. They were the lowest of the low. Okay, got it? Do I need to tarry there anymore? We're good. We're going to move on. All right. So, in Luke 19, the passage that I wanted to get you to today, in Luke 19, we're going to meet again Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And now you've got a mindset of, if you were in the crowd, what you might be thinking about this guy. So Jesus, in Luke 19, Jesus goes along and he enters Jericho and he was passing through. He was on the Grand Jesus Tour. Now, he was teaching as he went. He was making disciples. He was teaching people about the kingdom of God. He was trying to illustrate things they couldn't conceive of. But he was trying to bring a truth to them that would change their hearts. So Jesus, he entered Jericho and he was passing through, and a man was there by the name of dun, 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 Zacchaeus. He was, hang on to your pews, please. Don't touch a person next to you, but hang on to your pews. He was a chief tax collector. All right? This is like Darth Vader. I mean, this is serious stuff. He's not just a tax collector. He heads up the tax collectors. He gives them the instructions. He's like the master trader among traders. He's a bad guy. But there's this man, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Heaven forbid. You know Jesus hated wealthy people. That's not true. And Jesus often said we get too attached to our wealth, and that's true. But he was wealthy, and the problem there is, how do you think he made his wealth? By being an excellent tax collector and an excellent enemy of the people. He wanted to see who Jesus was. So Jesus is passing through. This guy hears of it. And he's like, I got to check this Jesus feller out. But because he was short, I know there are people here that are afflicted with this disease, and I'm not mocking you. This is in Scripture. Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. Let me pause right there. Okay? As a pastor, and maybe you have this too, I don't know. But I know as a pastor, you ever watch Spider-Man? Do we have any Marvel fans? Spider-Man? Anybody know? Some, at least? Okay. Right? He had his spidey senses that would tingle. As a pastor, I have crazy senses. They go off when something crazy's going on or there's someone crazy. I'm not saying I always know or it's always right. And again, maybe you have these too, so you know what I'm talking about. But there is a crazy detector that goes off. Some of you aren't tracking. Listen. When I was in Liberty Center, which was, if you look at a map of the state of Indiana and you find the least populated area on that map, there was a town there that odds are wasn't even on the map, but it was there. Smack in the middle of nowhere. And somebody would call up and say, is this the pastor? And I always love to say, yes, it is. And they'd say, I have a proposition for you. I'd say, please hold. My crazy senses are tingling. Nobody wants to give a proposition to a man in a town that has 250 people, including his family. Okay? Crazy senses went off. I had a lady call this church. I'm not trying to mock anyone. I'm just letting you know crazy exists. And this is how the actual conversation went. I answered the phone, Dyer United Methodist Church. This is Devin. And this lady goes, Devin, do you preach the word of God in your church? I try, ma'am. How may I help you? I have talked for 5 other churches today, and none of them preach the word of God. It's like, ooh, excuse me for a second. Crazy alarms were flashed, all right? I'm just saying, you get a sense of a crazy detector. And guess what? Jesus, he was full of common sense and the Spirit of God, and he's passing by, and there's a man in a tree. Guess what was going off? Jesus was perfectly in tune with God. He said, I can only do the things I see my Father doing. I can only say the things I hear my Father saying. And he trusted God to guide him every day. And he probably stopped and went, oh, really, God, we're doing this today? I'm going to... Father, you know my crazy detector's going off, and I will do whatever you would do, but that's a guy. Okay. I get back to the Scripture. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, I'm going to insert side, and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. For heaven's sake, you're going to fall and hurt yourself. But he says, I must stay at your house today, now. Once again, let's step into that story just a little bit. Jesus is passing through. Zacchaeus knows about it. I don't know if there's a big crowd with Jesus or a little crowd or his disciples or some people learning or if there's people just watching, if this was a popular sycamore fig tree or if it was one that was out of the way. I don't know. Let's suppose there was one other person present. Just one other person present. And they're like, ooh, tax collector in a tree. Typically at that time, if there was a tax collector in a tree, he'd been chased up there. Either by the Romans because he wasn't doing his job, or by the people because they hate him. And he's a chief tax collector in a tree. Let's say one other person is present. They're like, Jesus is going to get him. And Jesus stops and looks up and sees him. So it's not like he was oblivious and he just passed by. Jesus sees the tax collector and says, get down! And the one other person, because we're going to imagine there's at least one, is like, he's right, he's good. Lightning bolt from heaven. And Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. And they're like, what the? Jesus says, I'm going to stay with you. You sinner, you evildoer, you lower than robbers and prostitutes, you tax collector and you chief tax collector. Jesus says, I'm going to stay at your house today. What would that at least one other person have thought? It would have been one of these moments. Like, you get, no! Jesus! You teach so widely, You're a leader. I think you might be a prophet. Some call you the Son of God. You can associate with that? The heck is wrong with you? If Peter had been there, certainly he would have said, no, Jesus, I forbid it. Nonetheless, this would have been shocking. I'm telling you, a teacher wouldn't have done this. A prophet wouldn't have dreamed of this. The Son of God would have like turned in disgust and set fire to this man. Nobody expects Jesus to say, get down from the tree because I'm going to stay with you today. And yet this lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the low and the scum on the foot of the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the low with the extra slime on the edge, that's where people would place Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, I'm going to stay with you today. So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this. By the way, there was indeed more than one person present. And they did exactly what you would have done. Probably what I would have done, except I get to play pastor this morning. They began to mutter and say, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. I don't even know how many of them knew Zacchaeus. Doesn't matter. They saw what Jesus did, and they said, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. That Jesus, this is too far. Okay, he healed some sick people. And he works with some less than desirable of our fellow Jews. And I even heard he corrected the Pharisees, but the guest of a sinner, he's been welcomed into the house of a sinner. Ugh. You know the disdain you would have. Don't try and say, silly people of that time, you would do the same. That person that I had you imagine, you're like, oh, Jesus is going to go hang out with them. Oh, this is awful. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, look, Lord, listen to this. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions. Half of everything I have, half of my worldly wealth, I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I definitely have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. And hang on, because if that's not shocking enough, there's good in this man. It's like Luke Skywalker now next to Darth Vader. There's still good in him. Uh-huh. But if that's not shocking enough, Jesus says to him, and I imagine for the benefit of the people around, today, salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The significance of that event and the statement Jesus made, you just can't wrap your mind around. The people took so much pride in who they were. And part of the reason that they hated, again, these tax collectors, let alone a chief tax collector, is because they were there first. This should have been their land. They wanted to worship God and owe allegiance to no one and owe taxes to no one except the temple and the God they worshiped that resided in that temple. This was an atrocity, what this man was doing. They were descendants of Abraham. They had a right to be called children of God. They were saved because they were part of that lineage, and God chose them. And the tax collector that Jesus is going to associate with, they were just, ooh, it was disgusting to them. And Jesus says, nope. This man, too, is a child of Abraham. Why? I mean, what happened? Did he get out his, like, ID card? I'm a Jew, so I'm good. Did he say, Jesus, tell him. I shared the prophets with you. We're good, huh, buddy? Tell him. Jesus is like, yep, thank you very much. This guy is... No, because he allowed his heart to be changed. Because he stood there, climbed there, sat, whatever he was doing in a tree... And he was touched by whatever Jesus did. We don't have access to that conversation. Maybe his heart was just convicted as he saw the Messiah. But we know that he allowed himself to be changed. He opened his heart to God's greater reality. And out of that began to act in the way that Christ was calling people to. And because of that, Jesus says to all those who had judged him, all those who had looked down on him, all those who hated him, says, this is a child of Abraham also. Salvation has entered his house. I like this story of Zacchaeus because it's a great children's story, and it's got a quirky little song that goes with it, and it speaks volumes to us today. It speaks volumes to where we're at. This speaks to the heart of so many different spiritual realities, and we just let it go by because too many times we get stuck in the song, as I saw some of you were trying to pull us into. We just let it go by maybe because we've never encountered it before. We just let it go by because we're like, yep, it was a tax collector, it was Jesus, and good stuff, and he keeps walking. Don't miss what happened. This man that everyone would have written off. This man who was Darth Vader. The Emperor? I don't know. I got to work on my Star Wars analogies. This man who was like the baddest of the bads and the lowest of the lows, that if this crowd had come by without Jesus, they'd have probably been like, set fire to the tree. This man encountered salvation. He was changed. He was redeemed, restored, because he allowed his heart to be shaped by what Jesus was teaching. He saw the kingdom of God. So this story, again, I think it's powerful and it speaks to us in many ways. Allow me to mention a few of those ways. It talks to us about greed. One of the characteristics that is incompatible with being a follower of Christ is greed. And you're like, oh, don't worry. I don't have a problem with greed. Eh, bet you do. I mean, all of us are wealthy simply because of where we're at, and this speaks right to the wealthy. Remember, the people hated this guy because he was wealthy, but he decides this isn't the way to be in following Jesus. Whether Jesus explained something to him or showed something or he just knew that, I don't know how. But he decides, I can no longer be greedy, but I need to be generous. If I gave you a sheet of people that tithe even right here in this congregation, you could begin to see greed. And I'm not calling all of you greedy, and some of you are extremely generous, and some of you are not in giving towards the things of God. And Jesus said that also, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. You know, give to the government and give to whatever is required, but also give to God the things that are God's. And the story of Zacchaeus says his heart was changed in such a way that he decided he was going to give to God the things that were God's. Here's another thing the story speaks to that I want to just share with you briefly, that sometimes there's a need to change or a need to be changed. And I talked about this in January as we went through our series and said, what does it take for us to be changed? One, we have to determine that we want to do it. Two, we have to trust that God really can see us through. And three is that we have to be brave. Do you think it was part of Zacchaeus' normal routine to pass by the sycamore fig tree and sit in its branches? You think it was part of Zacchaeus' daily life that he'd encounter the Son of God and hang out with him for a bit? I don't think so. Zacchaeus decided, there's something about this Jesus, and I've heard of him, and I'm going to change my routine, and I'm going to want to be uncomfortable, and I'm going to get out and do, and I'm going to break what I know, step out of my comfort zone, and see this Jesus for myself. This little story speaks to that in our lives, that sometimes God has a bigger purpose for you. Sometimes God's calling you where you're not comfortable. Sometimes God asks you to do something you have never done before and you are not used to doing. But if you're brave and you will allow it, Jesus can change you and can make you something more than you were before. The story speaks to that. But what I think I like most about this story is it shows a changed heart. And believe it or not, that's why I preach every week. I want to change your lives. I want to change your hearts. If you say, I know and love Jesus, I want to help you know and love Jesus more. If you say, I've never heard of Jesus before, I am happy to share Jesus with you. If you say, I've heard of Jesus and I've seen church people and I'm not sure, oh, I would love to be the guy that can help you understand what he was here for. And possibly down the road, you will find the joy that there is in Jesus. I love this story because it talks about a changed heart. And really, changed hearts and changed lives, that's part of becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And the story shows us that. Notice Zacchaeus' intent, not only his words, but his actions. He was brought around to full redemption. Restoration, if you like it. Completely, not just, you know, Jesus, thanks for the time today. I'm going to think about possibly coming and seeing you when you pass by again. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. No. He says, you know what? Jesus, you are right. And your way of life is so much better than the life I was living. I'm going to make a change, and it's going to be tough. But I'm doing it because I believe I should follow you. Redemption. We see Zacchaeus go from being the one that everybody would despise to probably the one everybody still despised, but Jesus said it doesn't matter because you too are a child of Abraham. You are included in the family of God. We see Zacchaeus making these exclamations and promising what he'll do with joy. I think so many times today, I don't know this and I haven't taken a survey, but my suspicion is so many times today, we don't find the joy that there is in knowing Jesus because we don't let him shape our heart. We're too proud to admit where we're broken. We're trying to maintain too much of an appearance to say that we're hurting. We're too right with what we are doing to allow it to be shaped in the way that Christ says we should be doing it. And so we don't find the joy. We don't find the natural expression of, my God, how beautiful. Thank you. And now I want to change, because we resist it and we put it off and we distance ourselves from it like it's, hey, this is timely, like it's the coronavirus and we're keeping our space. I love Jesus as long as he's over there and I'm here and I can stay the same. And this man, Zacchaeus, experiences joy because he allows himself to be changed. Take a look at the biblical focus that I have for this morning. If you're like, the Bible would do what? Look in your bulletins, and it's printed at the top on the inside. Biblical focus is the thought I want you to keep with you each week. Jesus was questioned one time, why do you hang out with sinners? Why do you go and eat with tax collectors? Why do you spend time with prostitutes? Why, Jesus, are you around these lowlives? Okay, if you are this holy man, why do you do this? And Jesus responds, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And Jesus makes this statement, just like he said, I've come to seek and save the lost in today's passage. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners. Jesus came here for sinners. Jesus came here for the broken. Jesus came here for the hurting. Jesus came here for the despised, for the wrong, for the unwilling to change, for those that have closed hearts. You think you're a scratch and dent item? You think you're something that's just trash? You think there's somebody that's not worth anything? You think that the person you'd just rather write off? Jesus came for you. Jesus came for them. If you're holy and you're good and you don't need to change and you don't want Christ, I have bad news. Jesus would walk right past you because your heart's hard and your mind's made up. But Jesus says, I came here for the sick. Those are the ones that need a doctor. I came here for those that aren't whole to make them whole. I came to seek and save the lost. I came to call sinners. Not the holy and righteous, or not those that believe they are. Jesus came here for sinners. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus makes it his purpose to pursue those who are broken in some way. I think, by the way, that our pride is a big, big issue that this passage also speaks to. But if you're saying, I am at the opposite side of proud, Pastor Devin, I am just not worth Jesus' time. I have done so many things, and I know what people say about me, and really, just let me set in the heap that I am. Here's the good news. Jesus came for you. Jesus wants to call you to a life of purpose and repentance and wholeness. So just as we have our visual up here still, this door that was looking pretty doggone ratty, nasty, ugly, and disgusting, slowly, at the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing, with just the right skills, it's being restored, and we will continue to have that restored through Lent. We come to Easter, and we're going to see a beautifully remade and redone door there. Jesus wants to do the same in your life. No matter where you're at, he says, if you would just throw yourself out with the garbage, or if you're like, somebody please set me on fire because I'm not worth anything. No, he wants to tell you, you have more purpose than that and far more value than that. If you say, I'm a pretty good door, there's a crack in the glass and the handle's a little loose, but I'm a pretty good door, Jesus says, that's awesome. I can make you a better door. Jesus is in the business of restoration, and what we see this morning is Zacchaeus, the lowest of the low, was brought to full redemption, and he found joy in it. I want you to know the joy of being redeemed. I want you to know the value that you have. I want you to know a God who is so creative and so powerful that he can take anyone who is willing and bring them into life at the fullest. Full of purpose, full of joy. I want you to know that, Jesus. So as we continue to go through Lent, and we continue to walk through this time of illness, and we continue to be wherever we're going to be, stop. Recognize you're not perfect. Maybe spend some time confessing to Jesus where you need to be different, and experience the complete beauty of him restoring you to all that you were made to be. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as I stand before you this morning, I know that I am a mess, and I know that I am a sinner, and I know that at times I wish I were like other people around me. But I also know that you call me your child, and that you tell me I can do all things through Christ, your Son, who gives me strength. That you tell me I was wonderfully and beautifully made. That you tell me you have plans and a purpose for me, and that I am loved. And so because of that, I give you thanks. I pray that you continue to work on me. And I pray that you will open the hearts and the minds of others, God, that they will be ready for you to restore them. May we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.